You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like that dude just said, yep, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving that world we live in one soundbite at a time. Well, listen, we're going to the phones right now. We are 20 days, really it's 19 and a wake up, I like to say. 19 and a wake up away from the primary election day, May 24th. One of the candidates for Congressional District 5 is Casey Wardinski. He's been on the show several times. Casey is a retired Army colonel who also served as a superintendent for the Huntsville City School System. He was also appointed as an assistant secretary of the Army for Manpower and Reserve Affairs under the Trump administration, is now running for Congressional District 5. Casey Wardinski, how are you doing today?
Good, Phil. How are you today?
I'm well. You out on the campaign trail? What y'all up to today?
We're in Florence today for a gathering at some folks' house and just got done at a stew boil over in Elkmont.
Well, you got, I think I said a minute ago, and you've probably heard it described this way in the Army, you've got 19 and a wake up, I think, is what it is.
That's right.
So, I mean, by the time you get to wake up on that day, you're there. It's just, it's all in.
You've done this several times.
Well, yeah, I have, and across four counties, that was my district, but so I can relate, but you're also running for a different seat. So, I mean, issues that that are up right now that I wanted to get your perspective on. So let me ask you this. Just this week, we saw a leaked document come out of the Supreme Court of the United States. Shocked everybody, number one, that it was leaked, but number two, it seems to indicate that Roe v. Wade is about to be overturned or reversed. Your thoughts on this as a potential future congressman?
Well, the fact that this individual inside the Supreme Court doesn't respect that institution, you know, it's really not that surprising. The people on the left, they would burn down the country if they could be king of the ashes. They're about power, control, and they really don't subscribe to American values and the value that our institutions bring. And so, you know, it's pathetic. But not that surprising. The fact that the justices are contemplating overturning Roe v. Wade, that's really good news. That thing's an abortion in and of itself and never should have been done. And really is, you know, very opposite of the American tradition of liberty that comes from the creator and not from the government. And if it comes from the creator, you know, the government doesn't have the ability to take innocent life, you know, at any point, either after conception or before natural death.
Well, totally agree, and thank you for saying that. And two, also, with regards to the manner in which the document came out, I mean, it sort of shocks the conscience of many, left and right. There's people on both sides of the aisle that are shocked that this happened. I mean, you worked, I said the other day, too, I had a TS clearance working in the Pentagon. There were things that I understand you just don't say outside the walls of where you work, and apparently some people don't get that.
No, their views, their agenda is way more important than the overall, you know, duty they have to the country, duty they have to the organization. And when you work in these kind of positions, you may not agree with everything that's going on. And if you reach a point where you can't subscribe to what's happening, then it's time to leave, and then you fight the battle from outside. But that's not the leftist way. They tear down these institutions, and they destroy trust, which is very hard to recreate.
Yeah, that's true. And, once trust has been abused, it's very hard to get it back. All right, well, let me switch gears on you then. A lot of things happening in the news right now. You remember the Virginia gubernatorial election, Terry McAuliffe and he lost big time after he just openly said he couldn't figure out why parents should ever have a say in their child's curriculum. President Biden just yesterday said to a group of teachers at the White House that when those kids are dropped off, they become at the door of the school, they become our kids. Well, you were a superintendent of a school system. Your thoughts on this? I mean, I can imagine where you're going to go being, you know, who you are, but give me your thoughts on the president saying this just yesterday.
You know, he's awful too, and his view is pretty much awful. You know, superintendent, I saw my role as not being the parent, but the agent of the children. My goal was to always work in their best behalf for their long-term, you know, prospects. If it pertained to, you know, making sure they were safe or making sure they had the best education possible. But I didn't replace the parent. That's the parent job. The parent is the chief advocate and the one that's most concerned with how that child's going to develop. And so that's nutty. And, you know, it really reflects that education's become, in the government's eyes, about it, about the adults. And the kids are just a vehicle for conveying income from taxes onto preferred groups like, you know, the NEA and the AFT. I'm for, you know, watching what happened during the pandemic and the fact that the kids, you know, were denied education in many cases. And now I don't know what they're going to do. You know, they're beyond second grade. Yeah. The money ought to follow the kid. And whatever the left comes up with, whether it's CRT or whatever they call it today, if the parents are not happy with the education their child are getting, they ought to be able to do whatever they do anywhere else, you know, with medical care or, you know, anything else. They take the child and the money follows and they do better for the kid.
Now, that's refreshing to hear a former public school superintendent say that, because not everybody holds that opinion, obviously, or we'd have more school choice options in the state of Alabama, which we don't. But let me ask you something, too. I was on the show earlier today. I was talking about the fact that, and I believe it was put in place after you left as superintendent, but there's a curriculum called No Place for Hate put out by the Anti-Defamation League, which is a very liberal organization. The handbook for that literally encourages teachers to not tell the parents if the child wants to be called by a different name or pronoun while they're in school, and teaches the teachers how to work with gender fluidity in the Huntsville City school system. That handbook is actually in place, and that curriculum is in place in Huntsville City schools right now. And that I find that to be disturbing, and I think a lot of my listeners do too. Your thoughts?
That's the problem with this stuff, and that's really why I'm for this, the money follows the kids. The left manages to grab and co-opt things over time, and what starts out in one form ends up in a much different form over time. And it becomes a game of whack-a-mole. And so, you know, whether it was No Place for Hate or whether it was standards of education, the left grabs these things and they turn them into something else after they're launched because of the flow of the federal funds and the influence of higher ed through the teacher colleges. And so it's a tough job for parents to keep up with all that stuff. And I think if they find things like that that have become, you know, pernicious and perpendicular to our values as a country, it either has to go or they need to be able to take the child and the resources to do something better. And if they take the kid and the resources, the school systems are going to change and they're stop doing that stuff and they're going to pay more attention to what's being taught in the classroom or being brought in, you know, whether it's in textbooks like Florida just took care of or, you know, individual classrooms or as a systemic problem.
Well, it's pernicious, and I think you use that word yourself. It's everywhere, and I hate to think that it's even right here in our own communities. But let me ask you one more thing before we run out of time. I do want to have some opportunity to talk to you about your sense of the campaign trail. But one more thing in the terms of the news, and I'm switching gears totally here. Ukraine, we're seeing the Ukrainians are really putting the wood to the Russians, but they're also taking major licks in the process. Just the other day, I saw where Redstone Arsenal has a play in there. You can imagine, with Material Command being headquartered here, that would be within your district if you are elected. Your thoughts on U.S. support of Ukraine and where that's going right now?
I think the material support is the right way to go. You know this, but some folks may not, that after the Cold War, I think it was 91, Russia, U.S., France, Britain had an agreement. It wasn't a formal treaty, but an agreement that if the Ukrainians gave up the nuclear weapons in their country that run top ICBMs and let them go back to Russia, that all the parties agreed that Ukraine borders should be respected and Ukraine was a sovereign country. Well, okay, Russia can't turn around now and say it was never a country and it was never sovereign. And so they've invaded a sovereign nation. We can't put up with that. The degree to which we involve ourselves is a big question. I think the level of material aid, intelligence support, and those sorts of things is appropriate. Not for involving U.S. troops on the ground, though.
Yeah, well, that's I think that's the sentiment of everybody right now. I don't know where the end is. You know, I don't know how far. I mean, Biden's asking for another $33 billion in monetary aid and weapons And we've given quite a bit. In fact, right here in Troy, Alabama, the Javelin missile is made at the Lockheed plant. I don't know where it ends, but I agree with you. I think the Material Command is got the lion's share of any assistance that we're going to provide right now. Well, Casey, well, listen.
In that money, Phil, you know, there was some money for disinformation campaigns. We need to watch what they're spending their money on, because we got that bunch over at Homeland Security that wants to get involved in a board to look into what they call disinformation in America, sort of the board of truth. We don't need to pay for Ukraine and have the money end up in DHS interfering with the free flow of information in America.
No doubt. Well, Casey, listen, we got about a minute and a half here. Tell me, what's your sense of the campaign trail? 19 and a wake up to primary day. What are your thoughts?
Well, we got a lot of great support. You know, the Freedom Caucus, which is Jim Jordan and Andy Biggs and these kind of guys, have endorsed my campaign. Mo is a Freedom Caucus member. They want to make sure Northern Alabama stays a strong conservative seat. They've come in. Their PAC has come in a strong way. We've got a lot of momentum come off of December with General Flynn's endorsement. So I think momentum's on our side to make sure this is probably going to come down to two candidates and probably go to a runoff.
Well, I agree. I think you're probably looking at a runoff, and when you have a field that big, it's hard to avoid a runoff no matter what. But nonetheless, 19 in a wake-up, Casey Wardinski running for Congressional District 5. Tell folks where they can find you if they want to know more.
Friendsofkc.com.
All right, friendsofkc.com. All right, well, I know you got an event that you're headed to, so best of luck to you. We'll talk to you again between now and Election Day.
Thanks, Phil.
All right, thanks. Take care. That's Casey Wardinski, folks, retired Army colonel, former superintendent of the Huntsville City School System, deputy secretary or assistant secretary of the Army for Reserve and Manpower Affairs under Trump administration, now running for Congress. We got some great candidates in that field. We need to get Dale Strong back on sometime soon. So if anybody's listening from Dale's campaign, we had Paul Sanford on just a couple of days ago. There's some good candidates in that race. Listen, one of these is going to be your next congressman, folks. I'm just telling you, get to know your candidates. Figure out what you think about them. Do you like the way they present their views? Do their views differ from anybody else? Do they match your views? Know who you got on your ballot, because May 24th is right around the corner. And if you haven't registered to vote, you got till May 9th to get it done. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.